Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. It's 23rd of February. We're almost out of here on February. And anyway, welcome to the show, folks. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, what's up in there, man?
Hey, nothing much. Back on Sundays, getting to do the early morning.
Yeah.
You know?
We're kind of back to a normal schedule.
Early morning Sundays.
Yes, sir. Well, I got a message yesterday from a friend that said that Texas tournament trail up on Rayburn yesterday. We were just bragging on another guy, stringer, oh, Anthony Sharp, that weighed in a 40-pound sack of bass. Ooh. Well, listen, these two partners, Danny Isles and Brian Shook, weighed in 49 pounds of bass, a five-fish limit. That's a 10-pound average almost. That's crazy.
I can't imagine.
Boy, big ones are biting on Rayburn. Jeez, they're finding them. Well.
Got to go out to Rayburn.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That lake gets a lot of pressure. It's hard to believe it's producing fish like that. Well, anyway. Well, let's get rolling on this open line fun Sunday. We'll call a few guys to get started till the sickos become awake enough to call in and, you know, gab with us a little bit. But our sponsors today, we have Castaway Rods, the Belleville Meat Market, Bauman Marine Service, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, and Boyd's One Stop. Weather in Galveston sure warmed up nice during the nighttime hours. So it's cloudy, though. Clouded up during the night, but it's 62 down on the island in Galveston, about 55, 56 up here on the high ground, but winds are kind of east at about 8 miles per hour down there. They're calling for overcast skies today, a high of 68. Winds will be southeast 10 to 15, and that rain chance is a measly 10%. Tonight, they're calling for 50% chance of, you know, maybe an occasional shower overnight with a low of 64. Winds will be south-southeast 10 to 20, and then for tomorrow, they're bringing in an 80% chance of rain. That's not what I wanted for my Monday to start off the week. But anyway, high of 72. Winds will be southwest at 10 to 20 with that nasty 80% chance of rain. Looks like it's going to be training along a coast like we've been experiencing all winter long. Gets cold, then it warms up and rains. So, tides for today, we're on a four-tide schedule. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on a high right now. Our next tide will be a low at 10.09 a.m. Then we have a high at 5.43 p.m., then a low at 10.08 p.m. And our moon phase is zero right now. We're on our first new moon of the month. And sunrise this morning, 6.51 a.m., sunset, 6.14 p.m. Right now, looking coast-wide, pretty much all wind directions and, you know, are mostly southeast and less than 10 miles per hour all the way from over in Louisiana down the coast. So wind is not a factor this morning. Offshore, there's a little bit of wind, you know, way out there about 17 to 14. Nothing to be alarmed about. Things look good. We'll take it. But chance of rain coming back tonight and tomorrow, so not liking what I'm seeing there. Anyway, let's go over to the Tri-Bay area. Let's get cranked up with old Hammer this morning, see what Glenn's up to. Hammer, what's up?
Hey, not much, buddy. Sure not the wind this morning.
No, it's not.
Zero down here. Of course, I've got my little old weather vane's kind of limping along, but no, it's kind of quiet and eerie down here this morning, Captain Mickey.
Right.
We got out a couple of times, man. It wasn't that good. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. A professional guide comes in with five croakers in the box, you know. But I'm laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, but no.
Well, hey, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at your attitude anyway. At least you're good about it.
Hey, buddy, I got to tell it like it is, man. I got just a pound of dead shrimp to carry with us yesterday. You know, we're going to throw some artificial, and I'm glad I did. I caught one little bitty old man, it wasn't even right even 15-inch trout out of all the trolling and everything I did yesterday. And that's what we're doing this time of year is working the canals and the drop-offs and the ditches and drains. And, you're finding the deeper holes or access to where the fish can go up in the bay and come back down. Dude, I mean, it's been a really off season for me as far as, our fall fishing or winter fishing. And our water temperature has went up and it's went down, it's went up, it's went down. It just varies so much, Captain Mickey. I never have been able to put a finger on it. And I'm telling you, it's really crazy that we just couldn't get a good feel for it this winter. I couldn't, personally. And I went all over the place and did the same thing that I've done in years before. But it just seems like nothing had a chance to settle. You know what I mean? To either stay cold for two or three weeks and the fish would be in a pattern, but it wouldn't do that. You know, it would warm up and then get cold again. And I don't know. For me, it's really been off. And starting as far as back as fall, our fall fishing just wasn't what it used to be. We used to, you know, go out across that bay and find 10 or 15 flocks of seagulls working over shrimp migrating out of the bay and that kind of a thing. But the seagulls didn't even, I mean, the bird activity didn't materialize this year. So,
we've always had the bait. You know, you got shrimp and everything out there, but you got to have fish to make the birds work. You got to have, lots of fish and different schools all over the place to push that bait up and get that bird action going, you know, widespread and vast.
Right. Really, really been an off year as far as that. I mean, besides not being able to find the fish and not being able to catch the fish, I have a lot of fun with my buddies that come down and friends and family that keep me going through the wintertime. You know what I mean? So we're having lots of fun. And anyway, we got out there. I didn't have, that was it. I'm telling you, we had five croakers yesterday, Captain Mickey, and we were fishing for George. I named this old great blue heron George. He hangs out. It took him about 10 years to get kind of brave to where he comes right on up. Boy, when he sees that truck and trailer pull up the driveway now, that old heron, man, he'd come marching across that field. You know what I mean? Like, what you got for me today? Anyway, that's a highlight of the day. And just getting to feed the birds. I had one like that
hung out at the bait camp I used to run out of years ago. And he was like a pet. He would take it out of my hand. He was leery with my customers there, but I told him, just be real still and watch him. He'll get up here, and he'll stand right by me on a cleaning table. And I'd hand feed him. I come in from fishing one day, and he was laying dead right by the cleaning table. Somebody looked like they whacked him in the head with a 2x4 or something. I was hot.
Oh,
I can't believe somebody killed that heron, man. And it's probably my fault. Because I ruined him. I made him feel comfortable around people. And then you had one individual that apparently he didn't like that heron trying to get his table fare. So,
son of a gun.
I wish
man,
I still think about it. I wish I could find out who did that.
Oh, my gosh. What an idiot. Of all the rotten things, dude.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
big old blue heron, man.
Yeah. They're beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And they got a weapon on their face, too, buddy.
When yeah, they do.
But I took these croakers, and I would hold them up by the tail, and I'd go, hey, George, look what I got you. And that bird will march across the field and come straight. He won't come all the way up to me, but he'll stop out in the street, and I just pitch that croaker out there, that fish out there, and man, he's like on it like a chicken bone. So anyway, big highlight down here, getting to feed the birds, man. You can tell we're plenty bored, but all the bait camps are holding bait down here, Captain Mickey. I look around, and I've seen the flags flying, and if you're a live bait fisherman and you get down here at a decent hour, you know what I mean, you're going to find some bait. I know the bait camp where I bought mine yesterday, they only came in with 16 pounds. Now, that doesn't equate to a whole bunch of shrimp, you know what I'm saying? So it's not even worth them going out and making a drag, spending that kind of money on gas and diesel and all that. But from what I've seen around the area, it's good. The boat ramps are good, too. Down at St. Louis Pass, I launched down at the old Ernie's place, the old KOA, or the old Ernie's, or Size Bait Camp, whatever
size
you want to call it.
Ernie's, yeah.
Yes, sir. Anyway, that's always a good place, a good deep place to launch your boat. You know what I mean? Or St. Louis Pass. That's a prime, first-rate boat launch. If you have any size at all to your boat, I would recommend you go down to St. Louis Pass. They got the facilities to handle it and handle it. They'll show you how to get out of that ramp.
It's KOA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful facilities down there. Beautiful facilities. Oh, let's see. Oh, other than that, I called Belleville and changed my order just a little bit. I'm not going to get the dried sticks. I'm going to go ahead and just do 50-50, half of it Chipotle and half of it garlic. So I love that garlic sausage. So we're getting a load of it made, buddy, and I can't wait, man. Can't wait.
It'll be good. I'm enjoying mine.
We had some of the summer sausage yesterday, dude.
Oh,
I couldn't get enough of that stuff, man. But anyway, that's about all I got for you down here. Let's see, bait camps, boat ramps. Everybody be safe coming down here. Give yourself a little extra time. Lots of construction in the area.
Oh, no, we don't have any construction in this area. I've never seen anything
y'all
like
don't.
It. It's crazy.
But we do down here, and it's a small community, and there's only a couple of roads that get you in here and out of there. So, anyway, everybody allow themselves some time when they're coming down, Captain Mickey.
Yeah, I was joking when I said that. I don't think I can go anywhere without going through construction zones.
You don't.
These people don't realize, you know, the fines double if you speed in a construction zone with those workers there, and they just run through them like it's nothing. I guess they're the same people that run through school zones without slowing down.
Hey, man, we got the barbecue cook-off, and my wife can get us all in. You want to go up there one night and mess around with us?
Oh, at the rodeo stuff?
Yes,
no,
sir.
I'm good, man. I had my 20 or 30 years of that, and I'm a chiller
well,
now.
She's reaping the benefits. He retired as a committeeman. So.
With this schedule I'm on, my nightlife has come to a screeching halt.
I hear you, sir. Hey, man, I appreciate you, buddy. And anybody wants to call
me. I appreciate the invite, Glenn. Thank you for asking.
Oh, no. We'll do it. We'll get together, man. Hey, anyway, Tri-Bay area is looking good down here. I did have a cancellation yesterday, so I got to go out and just mess around with the wife. And we just went out and piddled around. And like I said, one little bitty old skinny trout. And then if it wouldn't have been for the croakers and coming back and feeding the bird, man, I'd be really bored around here. So anyway, that's all I got
all right,
for you,
buddy.
Captain.
Well, Glenn, have a good one, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir, Captain.
Throw them out a number, bud.
713-208-0683. Y'all have a great fun. Saturday, isn't it?
No, it's Sunday. Yeah, it's fun Sunday. Yeah.
Melinda's in there going, Glenn, you idiot, it is.
Hey, Gads,
okay,
man.
Buddy.
They just take it one day at a time. We don't even care what time it is when you're running
heck
a lot.
No,
it doesn't
no.
matter. All right,
yes,
bud. Take
okay.
care, Glenn. See you.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. All right. All right, that's the Hammer from the Tri-Bay area. We're going to go ahead and take our first break of the morning. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this open line Sunday on the 23rd of February already. This month's flown on by. And if the weather stays like this, it can go ahead and get in the taillights real quick. All right, well, let's run down the coast a ways and see where Tony Gonzalez is at this morning. You never know with Tony. He may be on a deer lease. You never know with this guy. Captain Tony Gonzalez, what's up, man?
Not much, Mick. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Okay. Really wanting to get on the water, but I'm still at the house doing honey-do lists. Had the house painted yesterday. Have the guys coming back today to do the trim work. And
outside or inside?
Outside.
Outside, okay.
Yeah.
I figured
it's needed.
A healthy specimen like you'd be out there on a ladder doing it yourself, man.
No, I'd have it all over the place. Those guys knocked it out in one day for the most part. And they're building a lot of houses around me. I mean, there's five new houses on the street in this last 18 months. And figured I better clean up my yard a little bit and try to make it look a little bit nicer than having to look at my old unpainted house. So. Getting ready, you know. I've been the boat. I thought the boat was ready. The boat wasn't quite ready, but you should be wrapping it up this week. And I've been going back and forth with insurance on that insurance claim, but they finally came through and cut me my final check. And I'll go pick that up this week. And probably gonna go visit Travis at the ranch. I didn't get a chance to visit him last week. I was gonna go again and. Then I got stuck. I put myself in another car deal and I bought myself a truck last week. So I got Lisa, a little SUV on Valentine's Day. And I was swearing to her, we spent the whole day in there, that I am not going to buy another car for 3 years. I did not, you know, like spending my whole day in there. And then here on Monday, I go buy another truck. So she's like, I can't believe you're doing that. I was like, well, you know, when you're looking at cars and stuff, or, you know, just, if you're looking to buy anything, everything starts popping up on Facebook, you know, all these suggestions. And when we got back to town that Saturday last week, that truck had popped up. And I was like, look at this. And it was right down the street. I had bought a truck from them before that had 10,000 miles. And this one had 10,000 miles on it. I never buy new vehicles. I would buy something used. And it's a nice truck. I traded in mine, and she had one here that we had paid off from a hailstorm. You know, it was almost the time to pay it off. We got in a hailstorm, we got a check, and she's like, I'm just going to pay it off instead of fixing it and maybe go buy something else. That was about 4 years ago. And it's just been sitting here. We don't use it hardly. And she's like, why don't you go trade that one in yours and see if you can work a deal? So I ended up getting me a black F-250.
There you go.
And that's a big truck compared to my 150, but it's nice.
Yeah, when you jump from half ton to three quarter, you got a real truck under you now, buddy.
But I didn't get the diesel. I got the gas. I'm not a big diesel fan, and I've been going back and forth.
Damn, love that smooth, just all that torque when you need it. Just, you know, I got away from them years ago and I couldn't stand it, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I went back. They are a little more expensive to maintain, you know, as far as oil changes and filters and
that Blue Def stuff nowadays.
Yeah, and, you know, and the fuel prices, but, well, they, when they're running sweet, they're just sweet.
Well, I'm in Lamar. I don't tow, but maybe 5-6 miles a day, from the middle of the neighborhood up to Sea Gun and back to the boat ramp there on St. Charles Bay. So I figured, why not? So I'm pretty proud of it. It's a pretty truck. You know, it was a it was the sales manager's truck. I mean, a couple years old, only 10,000 miles. Why aren't there any miles on it? Like, because it was his truck, the sales manager.
Yeah.
He's there parked every day, and he had every bell and whistle on there, aftermarket leather and upgraded stuff on there. So it's nice. I should be able to pull my truck, and I was always having to bum a toe whenever I had to move my RV because I had a half ton.
Right.
But now I got something I can jerk it out of there if I need to.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, you know, just house is looking good, you know, getting clean up the yard and getting ready, starting to pull out my stuff for the fishing show. I'm going to set that up today. I'm going to set up my booth here around the kitchen table and get ready for that. And the phone is ringing. I booked for this last week.
Good.
Yeah, one for spring break, and my babes on bay team called me. Of course, I already had that one scratched out for them. And then one of the early morning listeners called, a guy by name Tony. He's coming out for a day in spring break, and then, you know, trying to get all that going. And what we have, turkey season will be the 21st.
Yep.
So
quail season ends today.
That's right. And that was the thing. I was talking to Mike. He was the one who sent his son with his dogs, and I felt real bad. He had to put Lucy in the surgery last Monday, that she had a thorn in her, and they had to cut it out and had an abscess in there. And he had ran her. That was the third trip. He'd ran her, that weekend before, like Saturday, and then he ran her on Wednesday when he has two dogs. And then he ran her, you know, with me that weekend. So he didn't know where the thorn came from. But he was telling me that's about $3,200 in vet bills for the year, Tony. And I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that.
Boy.
Yeah. That was about a $600 surgery on that thing.
I remember growing up, we didn't, you know, veterinary medicine wasn't that as advanced as it is now. You know, they used to just put dogs down back in the day because they had no way to repair them, fix them. Well, they do now.
Well, you'd see them. You know, I even saw Robbie's dogs, and he was, you know, trying to trail that deer for us. they pick one up, and they're running on three. And I'm all wanting to tend to them. Oh, they have a thorn. Don't worry about it, Tony. And they'll reach down and pull that thing out with the, you know, by themselves and keep on going. But, they can get a little expensive. Dogs and horses, boats, all the same.
Bust out another $1,000.
There you go. But, you know, I was going to commend you, you know, the 3:30, I tried to get up about 3:30 so I can clear out and have a cup of coffee before you call it. And commend you, Mick, you know, all the years you've been getting up so early, get on the show for us, it gets a little tough on you.
Yeah, especially when you're getting up at 2 and 2:30 and it's just not normal.
But it is better for you than being out there drinking and driving around with the crazies.
You just wiggle through them because all the bars let out about that time. And, boy, they're out there, man. I can't believe all the people that still drink and drive. Living on borrowed time. Yeah, quail season and squirrel season end today at sundown.
Sunset. Squirrels. See, that, and that's fun. I was liking that one episode of Meat Eater, where they do the squirrel and and rabbit hunts, and that guy, you know, he cooks them all up and stuff the old fashioned way. Me and Travis were watching that one day at the RV, and he was like, "Golly, I want to call that guy right now and go." He's like, "You know, he's booked solid after that episode." I'm like, you know it, you know. But so how were those trout this week?
Oh, it was fun, man. We caught a lot of fish and had a good time. We didn't bust that big one we were looking for, but, I mean, you got a couple of days you go and hope you get lucky and roll up that one big elusive fish down there. They're there. You know, we missed a couple. Cliff had one straight in the hooks out on a corky, and then I missed one on a broken back redfin. And I had one shot at one anyway. And there's no telling how many look at your lure while you're white fishing.
Right.
But we caught some good fish, had, you know, a couple over 6 pounds, and, you know, had some nice fours and fives. And
oh, those are good.
Solid fish, man, and lots of them.
And there was how many of y'all? Four of y'all or eight of y'all?
No,
or?
Six of us went. We had two boats.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day there was only five of us. And then David, who fished with Mark and I with Cliff the first day, he went with the other guys on the other boat, Jared's boat. Mm-hmm. And they had a good time. They called them up too, and I can't complain. The weather worked out perfect for us too. We hit a perfect wind between fronts. That usually doesn't happen.
They were eating everything, or were they liking something more than the other?
No, they were. Yeah, they ate everything, but if you wanted a lot of bites, anything pink, especially in a original mirror lure, you know, a few on pink fat boys, but the original was working way better, and the pink Little John. Those two particular baits right there is what we probably caught 80% of the fish on. You know, I caught some on Lee Lee's, and our topwater bite was just non-existent, you know, dog walking stuff. You know, you get a few blows, few follow-ups, swirl outs and all that, but for the most part, subsurface baits were it. Just like the Lily, I'd take it down almost to the grass on the bottom and stop it and let it wiggle back up, and boom, they'd pop it. So
yeah, listen to you talk about how Jay Watkins would make fun of you the way you work your, you know, how you palm your reel, you know,
yeah.
You can hold it right. And I do the same way, you know, when I'm banging it real hard, and I told somebody, look, I'm not even really holding it. I'm just kind of pushing with my finger.
No, it's just pivoting, you know, in your...
Right.
Laying in your hand there, and you really, the control I have on holding it steady is with my reel handle, you know, my thumb and index finger on my right hand turning the handle on the reel, and keep that baby moving. Let me take a quick break, Tony. I'll come right back at you.
Sure.
Hang with me. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:36 here in the Bayou City on a not so bad Sunday. Boy, it was a beautiful day yesterday, and today's going to be a little cloudy, but it's going to be warm. Be nice. The rain comes back tonight and tomorrow, so enjoy what you can today. All right, let's get back to Tony Gonzalez. All right, Tony, we're back, man.
All right, Mike. Did y'all hear any buzz about that boat wreck when you were down there?
Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad, man. Cliff was telling me about it, and you know, they were having that boat show thing, you know, out of Flower Bluff over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a test run.
Oh.
And they went out, you know, because I think a woman and some kids wanted to take a ride on that boat. And they said, well, let us run it and we'll come back and get you and take a run with it. And it went bad. And, you know, the conditions weren't real good either, man. It was, you know, that norther was blowing.
Uh-huh.
It was real windy and real choppy. And that boat just, it airplaned on them, man. It lifted off, and the bow went straight up and went back over on them at 88 miles an hour is what I heard.
It did flip over like that, okay.
Yeah, it just took off.
Did they say what kind of boat it was?
Man, I'm not sure. It was I don't know whether it was shell water or shallow sport or whatever. You know, I didn't get the particulars on it, and it was just, I mean, in those conditions and that kind of speed, it just, man.
Uh-huh.
Things happen really bad. And I don't know whether, I know that one guy, and I can't remember his name. I know the other guy because him and his twin brother, Brett Carone.
Right.
They let him out of the hospital on, I think, Sunday last week, last uh-huh. Sunday. And, I heard they hit so hard it just ripped their clothes off when they hit the water.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, slalom skiing, you hit it at, what, 32, 35, it'll pull your shorts down pretty quick.
I've lost my Birdwell beach britches barefoot before, you know. It just
Oh, you used to barefoot?
Yeah, I got into it, and whew, man, had a few spills there that weren't so good.
That's why when I bought my boat, that was like 99, my ski boat, and it was a barefoot boat.
But I
got in that wakeboarding, and you were pulling at 20-21, and that was it for slalom skiing for me. I didn't like hitting the water that hard anymore. And I'd always, you know, talk about those barefooters, because usually a barefooter, they were older guys most part in the 30s, you know, back when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I did the barefoot, and then I remember seeing that one guy that was 80 miles an hour behind a helicopter.
Yeah.
If you ever seen that guy, that barefooter behind that helicopter.
Yeah, I watched Kim Asbeck go 90-something.
Was that with Ray Stanley?
Yeah. And, oh, Ray, man, that's a guy to talk to about all that kind of stuff, barefooting and skiing. And if it's been done on the San Jacinto River, Ray's probably done it 10 times over.
And, what's that park over there? That's where I learned to water ski, in Baytown.
Roseland Park, that's where I skied out of. Cedar Bayou,
okay. Yeah. That's right.
Roseland Park. It's still there.
Yeah, I remember that. And with the levee bridge right there, and there's an old guy that had a boat that said something like the toy box or something that was in a garage right there next to that boat lot.
The old railroad trestle that passed over Cedar Bayou that everybody jumped off of in high school, it's gone now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. They finally finished tearing it all down and getting the concrete out of the water, and it's a done deal.
Huh.
Another landmark gone.
Yeah, well, there was a kid, I think that was a trestle. I know there was one trestle over there once you go jump out. From LaPorte, they drive over there, and one kid, he jumped off of there, and he never resurfaced.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Yeah.
We used to do some stupid stuff.
Yes, we did.
Stupid is, stupid does. Forrest.
I remember a buddy of mine, he did that here in New Braunfels when we had to all come down in high school. And there was that cliff when you're almost to the very end where everyone gets out. As you're coming, you can hear it. I mean, it sounds like a bomb going off. As you're, what's that noise? And you just hear them hit that water. And as you pull up, you see it's people jumping off that cliff. And my buddy Jeremy, I'm going to do it. Like, don't you do it. He's like, I'm going to do it. So he went up, climbed up there, and, you know, everyone's getting in line to do it. Some lady yelled at him, I'll give you all the beer in this cooler if you do a 1.5 off of there. So he's an idiot. He tried, and he landed smack on his face sideways. And, so, you know, he was underage. And, where's my beer? And she tossed him one beer. He about tossed it back and hit her with it, you know.
Yeah.
Cause she offered to give him his old cooler and only gave him one beer. Keep your stupid beer. He was all mad. You can get, that's dangerous stuff. Well, like you said, when you're young, you're bulletproof. Other than that, them Hondas are looking nice. On everybody's boats.
What's looking nice?
You there?
Yeah, I said, what's looking nice?
Everybody's Honda engines that y'all are getting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah, they got that vent on top. What was the other guy? I guess he comes on usually after me from Freeport. He said he bought some, too.
Yeah, Jeff Naylor. Oh, Naylor. Yeah.
On the binnacles, do they have is there a trim and a jack plate switch on that binnacle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
My binnacle, I've got both on there.
Okay. Yeah, cause that's what my mechanic was talking about. You know, if you upgrade, Tony, we can put that on there. And he's like, a lot of people are trying to come buy them just for that reason because all your switches there. Where's your switch? Like down here. Like, so you got your arms crossed trying to do everything, right? Like, kind of. He's like, yeah, it's a lot more efficient if you put it all right there.
Yeah, it makes it nice. It's right there. It's your thumb. Never have to take your hand off the throttle. Eyes off the road. Hand off the wheel.
Yeah, I'm considering and biting the bullet on it. I mean, I've been running this engine already 4 years, and like I say, it's underpowered, so we'll see what happens. It's nice to get, you know, I'm happy to get my boat back. Running boats for 20 years, first time I've made a claim. So it was nice to get that stuff fixed.
Well, hopefully I get you hooked up and get you back in the water, and here we go, another year. Another one
here
behind us, another one ahead of us.
I'll be gone for a long time. Be seven months on the water and be looking forward to coming back to the deer ranch.
I heard that. Well, Tony, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to fish with you or hunt with you and whatever, how do they get a hold of you, man?
You can reach me at 210-846-5083. You can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain, see some pictures. And whatever you like, I can put you on them one way or another.
Good deal. Well, Tony, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Hemick.
See you. All right. That's Captain Tony Gonzalez. Now let's go down to Freeport, and let's talk to Captain Jeff Naylor, see what he's up to this morning. Jeff, good morning.
What's going on, Captain Mickey?
Not a lot. How are you, man?
Oh, man, you know, doing good. You know, we've kind of listened to Hammer there earlier and kind of licking my wounds a little bit yesterday. Had some offshore clients come in and get a little choppy out there, so we took them in bay fishing. And you know, we ended up with a box of fish. But I tell you what, I'm wore out. We worked for them hard. I promise you that. That cold wind, man, had them locked up yesterday.
Yeah, nobody said this stuff was easy.
Yeah,
it can be, but it's work.
That's right. You know, it was always interesting going from that blue water to old quarter shrimp, old school with a little 8 treble hook and letting some folks have a good time. You know, it was inspiring, I think, a little bit. But yeah, we got pushed back from the blue water again for the second week. But as far as altimetry in the Wahoo run right now is absolutely on fire. So looking like there might be a little window coming up this coming week, Friday, potentially Thursday, Friday ish as it stands now. And it's starting to look that way, you know, and I hope it holds. I guess we'll see. The altimetry readings are still real good for the Flower Garden area, all along that Flower Garden. Some of those weather buoys right there are all sitting right at about -1 to -2, and that's prime time. The water temperature rose about a degree too, which I mean it just kind of helps that whole situation out a little more. So, you know, anybody gets the opportunity to go out there, you know, you get out there, I think it'll pay off big time. So we finally got those. I've been telling you, I put the triple Honda set on my 36 contender about 2 weeks ago. Finally got in the water on Monday, took her for a little spin. Man, boy, let me tell you.
What do you think about them boogers?
Hey, bud, that's, you know, it's just a different animal. I mean, it's a different sound, a different feel. You know, they push that boat like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, my goal when I set out doing this, and I told Fernando this to begin with, is that my goal is 40 miles an hour, 1.2 miles per gallon, which for that boat, just heavy without being step-told, that's a really good economical number.
Yeah.
And so I hit 40 and 1.25. And I'm not completely full, about 3/4 of the way. And so I think I'm there. I'm excited. I'm blown away. I was those motors are really neat with all the digital controls, which, you know, a lot of other manufacturers, stuff like that, have, but man, I think I'm going to have some years to come with some, a lot of fun. So kind of looking forward to that part.
Well, you're going to get a lot of wear with them and longevity and dependability.
Those, oh, yeah.
You wouldn't believe some of the hours they put on those engines. Just keep them maintained, feed them good fuel, and hey, they'll never fail you.
That's it. That's it. You know what? Shoot, we can put some fuel through them. You know, I don't think it's possible for me to carry bad fuel. I mean, I'm burning through 300, shoot, during the summertime, 600-700 gallons a week. You know, I mean, it just, it's a revolving door, you know. So, but yeah, those lower units too are just massive, you know, in comparison to any of the other boats that are around me there in the marina anyways. Big old bulky thing.
Big gear case.
Yeah, you ain't kidding, man.
The smooth.
So hopefully, oh, yeah. Hopefully that equates to, you know, no malfunctions and all that kind of stuff. So kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, they'll hold up nice. Hold up real nice.
So the other thing that I want to point out, we had that daytime swordfish class with Check and Bottom Outfitters on March 9th. They did well. They had two classes. It went well, but we have that one coming up, Mark Holland, on March 28th, the Poco Playa restaurant. That's the daytime sword fishing class.
Right.
That Captain R.J. Boyle, Michael Belvin, Captain Ryan Regan, Jeff Wilson, those are all giant folks in the industry. And, man, you can walk away from there with some dangerous knowledge, you know. So
dangerous knowledge. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys, I mean, just are incredible, you know. Just watching films from them and, you know, talk around the dock as they come in, stuff like that. It's pretty incredible, you know. And some like sword fishing where you can spend ungodly amount of money on tackle that you may or may not need, you know, being able to get kind of a realistic point of view from folks have been doing it for a long time, kind of save you a lot of money too on top of it. So in March 5th, we'll be at the Rotary Club, Angleton Rotary Club benefits. We'll be giving away a trip. We always donate for our 4-H club.
Right.
So if anybody wants to go out and win a trip with STSL Adventures, you know, please go out there. And I'm sure it'll be an auction item or something like that. But it's fairly reasonable normally.
Right.
So come on, check us out anyways.
You know, you hear a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk about sword fishing now, you know, that you didn't back in the day. And with all the technology and, man, the knowledge that all these guys have shared and passed down through the ranks, that, you know, sword fishing's a, you know, that's a, if you know what to do, it can be very rewarding. It's a tough, you know, it's tough to catch them.
You
but
bet.
When you get on them, man, these guys are good. They catch them.
Oh, yeah. You bet. You know, back, you know, 15 years ago, you just, that was kind of something you did, you know, while you're out doing something else. Because you just never really knew. You know what I mean? It was a complete gamble. You know, I guess not a complete gamble, but it was, you know, it's nothing guaranteed. And it still isn't today, but, you know, your chance is going up.
Yeah, the chances are better now. There's more being caught now.
Oh, you bet. I mean, you never used to hear about somebody going out for a swordfish charter, you know, by itself, because, you know, you just can't risk going out and not catching anything. And,
right.
And nowadays, you know, you see that all the time. It's amazing. It really is. And like you said, with that, the technology, and I saw read an article a while back basically saying that the industry, what changed the industry is the braid line, you know, being able to put 2,000-3,000 yards of line on a reel and that kind of thing, and just kind of grew from that.
Yeah, get that strength and pound test you need with smaller diameter. It makes a bit, it was a game changer, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unreal. You know, I hear about those, you know, out of our coast here, or out of Freeport area, you know, the bluefin tuna that I hear caught majority of the time are somebody fishing for swordfish down 1,500 foot of water. And I always just thought that was amazing. You know, it just, you know, not only can you catch swordfish, you catch the bluefin tuna on top of it.
That's some deep water, man.
Boy, let me tell you. I've caught makos when I was sword fishing before. I caught some other, you know, just some random funky looking fish. And but I can't imagine, you know, locking onto an 800 pound bluefin tuna that far down. You know, it's scary. You know, I see what a 300 pound swordfish would do to you. I mean, 6-7 hours later, everybody just pour out whoops. You know, man, 800 pound bluefin, I can't imagine. You know,
have you about four or five heavyweights in that boat and take turns, man, winching on that booger.
Boy, you ain't kidding. You are not kidding.
That's a winch job. Well, Jeff,
yeah,
give out some info if somebody wants to get with you and do some offshore stuff out of Freeport this year. How do they get a hold of you? What's the best way, buddy?
You bet, brother. Give us a call anytime, 979-417-1013. And you can go on our website, STSL Adventures. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. And book online anytime. Just to add, the AJ season looks like it's going to start May 1st. Presumably, the charter guys will still start June 1st for snapper. And if you get into that May AJ season, it's going to be dynamite. So
I guarantee you.
Mind.
Big
awesome.
Deep,
thank you,
deep water donkeys, baby.
That's it, bud.
All right.
Call anytime, man. Thank you, Mickey.
Hey, Jeff, thanks, buddy, and have a good one. Good luck with those Hondas. Get them broke in, man, and then let them eat.
Awesome, brother. Thank you, man.
All
have
right,
a good
see
day.
You. All right, take care, Jeff. See you. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor down in Freeport.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.